All right.
No, why is it so quiet?
What?
Why is it so quiet?
I don't know. Oh, because the T-Man's not here?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is no longer just testing. This is recording, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, T-Man's not here today. So this is my show.
Oh, you're in charge, huh?
Well, I mean, you're going to be there.
Oh, okay.
To pay homage to myself, we're drinking the Mad Hatter this week.
You are mad.
I am mad, and I have been often called the Mad Hatter. Actually, at a former gig of mine, I used to be DJ Mad Hatter. But this tea actually...
Is that a true story?
That's a true story.
Why?
Because I was the DJ, and I wore a giant cake top hat.
You have too many hats.
It was unofficially mine. And then there was this massive snowstorm that happened, like, God, this would be like 10 years ago. Wow, I did that 10 years ago. Anyways, and I went into work like
the day
after.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great now, does it?
No, not really. I went into work the day after, and the cake top hat just disappeared. It vanished from the earth.
Someone thought it would be a good idea to take it.
Maybe, but it was in this...
It was one of those bright ideas that people have when they're in a certain state of mind. Like, hey, this I should take this for no reason.
But it was in the back office. Like, so it must have been
that
like
doesn't
a drunk
change
employee.
Anything.
Yeah. Like, I just need to borrow this.
I just need to borrow this forever, and I have no idea whose it is or when I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah. Oh. And so then it was gone. But then I wore fuzzy hats for a while, and it just never was quite the same. But yes, I was, in fact, DJ Mad Hatter, unofficially speaking. This mic keeps dropping on me. And not that I'm doing a mic drop, but... pardon me. So, anyways, this tea actually was for the Houston Tea Festival.
The only one that I didn't attend.
Right. That was the first one I ever went to. And they had a Alice in Wonderland.
I think it was
theme.
The first one that any of us went to. Right?
You know, I think that's true. That we were actually vendors, because the Tea Man went to Midwest Tea, or not Midwest, Anime Midwest before that.
Well, that wasn't a tea festival.
Yeah. So, yeah, him and I made the trip down to Houston, like a 16-hour drive. His car totally broke.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks.
I remember that story.
So.
Glad not to be there.
Yeah, that was an okay one to miss. Though, that's when I picked up Dokkan Battle, put in my hours that trip.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, it was Alice in Wonderland themed, and so the Houston Tea Festival is going on this year. They were actually, I haven't seen it, but they were going to announce where the new venue was because the university double booked.
Yeah, but I think we talked about that a little bit before, but yeah.
We did. They're doing the Harry Potter theme, which I am totally, so nerding out about.
Yeah, and we do have a Harry Potter tea.
We have, yes, and a couple maybe in development.
Intent.
Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
But yeah, this is
I forgot to tell you before you got here, but I was gonna be like, while the T-Man's not here, we should have just an entire show where we just pretend to be like late 90s NPR and just have a completely different kind of mood. That would be very nice.
Oh well,
that'd be swell.
We jumped the shark on that one.
I forgot about that, and then we just started testing the mics, and I was like, "Yeah, okay." Let's
hey,
start.
Everybody! This week,
hey.
I'd go 80s, but
no. The point is to be quiet.
No,
because there's not a loud Bulgarian here screaming into the mic and ruining the balance.
Somewhere he just like sneezed. If anime is to believe. So anyway,
his mic is impossible to balance because he's either like mumbling like,
while looking away
mumbling,
or looking into his mic
mumbling,
and screaming,
mumbling into his like his chest or something,
or
screaming at the top of his lungs
while looking at the mic.
Well, yes, it's like okay, I better get the mic right into my face here, to,
like
just to pick up my extra rage.
I can't even.
You can clearly, like, I can just look at the recording and tell where he's raging at. It's
but
it's
unfortunately
something.
This week you just you get the quiet too.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we leave the Mad Hatter too far behind, funny story and true story. We advertise this as a lemon lime green tea. And it tastes like a lemon lime green tea.
Mm-hmm. But not like Pine Sol, which is the first go-to thought.
I would I thought Sprite myself, but sure, Pine Sol, yeah. So what I was going to say is there's actually no lemon or lime in it.
What?
It's orange.
Oh, I hate it when they do that. Like the peach, there's one of the peach teas is apricot, and then like the peach is like,
ingredient.
We could put some in.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but the apricot, but this
we could put some peach in the peach tea.
This is just such a Mad Hatter like blend.
I mean, there's so much apricot in there, really. Do we really want to put the peach in too?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because the peach is just amplified. Like, it's like giving the peach a...
Yeah, they're very similar flavors.
It's like giving it a stereo, like a big old speaker. Like, and it's just, anytime apricot's in there, when peach is there, peach is going to be the shining star. You could have, like, you know, an ounce of peach for, like, 6 pounds of apricot, and be like, man, this is strong peach. it just gets it louder. Whereas this one, it's funny, there's no lemon or lime. It's just orange.
Lemongrass?
There might be lemongrass.
Probably is.
There probably is. But it just, it tastes like a lemon lime. But anyway, I found the tea package and was talking to the tea man. He goes, oh yeah, there's no lemon or lime. It's just lemon lime green tea. Madman.
Mad Hatter.
So, exactly, Mad Hatter's concoction. Like, the longer I have this, the better it is. But it's a light citrus green tea. It's nice.
Yeah, it's very, very smooth.
So, yeah, we've got some diversity in news this week. It's not just supers or fighters.
There's actually, for the first time, perhaps coincidentally or not, zero fighters news.
Yeah, so the T-Man left hard with his presence.
It's been, like, months, I think.
Every week we've had at least three things to talk about, yeah. And some weeks more than others, but the weeks that we hadn't had the news, we had to talk about the game. But yeah, it's nothing. It's silent. They're doing something behind the curtain there. So pay no attention to those men behind the curtain while we talk about the other news. We talked about Harry Potter because of the theme. Nantech is doing a follow-up to Pokemon Go with Harry Potter Go, I presume.
Yeah, so that was rumored, like, around the time that people were like, Pokemon Go is, you know, like, after the spike started to not be a spike anymore, they were like, well, what's next? It could be Harry Potter, or it could be, you know, a million other things. But, like, for some reason, Harry Potter was, like, the real stick out, like, this is what's coming next.
Yeah.
And it was, like, you know, BuzzFeed and... you know, all of the kind of, like, meme sites that just steal ideas from Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, yeah, that would be cool if that existed, but, like, stop making stuff up. So, apparently somebody had a source somewhere, or maybe they were just testing out, like, throwing out ideas and see what stuck the most. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently they... actually had it in the works starting last year, so they took that.
Harry's got a lot of I don't think anybody expects that much from Harry Potter Go, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's
definitely not going to be Pokemon Go,
and that could work out in the long run, because I knew a few people who were using it just as like an incentive to walk. Like there was a really good like 10-minute little video where this, or maybe it was even 5 minutes. It was fairly short, of this guy who was like 70 something years old, and he just had to get out and walk. And so he's now the highest level of Pokemon Go that you can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just like people that used it like that. Mm-hmm. Some of them stick around despite the massive disappointment, which is Nantech and their servers.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest problem was that, they weren't ready, anywhere nearly ready for the amount of attention it got, and because of that it ended up being a huge failure server wise and then there were a lot of like, you know, well, you could have done this better, you could have done that better. And a lot of broken promises. It's just kind
the,
of
the
all
broken
around.
Promises is, I think, the biggest, because when this, so like for instance, I played day zero or day one, whatever you want to call it, and
you played day negative somehow.
Yeah. I just jumped on there and it was like it crashed every 2 minutes. Like you'd be catching a Pokemon and it crashed, and people were upset like by that, but it was kind of like come on, the hype train doesn't pause, but this is paused. Come on, go. And they'd walk to like their next Pokemon stop, and it was fine. People forgave that. And day two, day three, I've never heard so many people like, you know, I'm gonna put money into this game because I want it to grow. You know, you have to give money for it to get better. I've never heard anybody talk about that so much. There was at least a dozen or a couple dozen people.
Usually people are resentful about that.
Exactly. Like, I expected this game to be finished. And they're like, no, this is
people
growing.
People are like, what do you mean I have to pay for an incubator?
Well, yeah, that, I heard that a couple times too. But I heard a lot of people, well, because they gave a lot of incubators away. Like, you got the one that's for free. Most of the stuff wasn't.
Maybe at a certain level you got a second one.
Maybe. I doubt it, but they gave you a bunch.
I never got a... Oh well, I got.
Should have gone to more Pokestops.
There were like limited use ones.
Yeah, they were all, and that was the incentive. Is they would give you like you could luck out. There was like a, who knows, like a 3% chance of you getting an incubator at one of the Pokestops. But especially for those of you in the city, God, there's like a stop every 3 feet.
Yeah, we went downtown once, and like I got like 20 new Pokemon and like maxed out some of my items.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. And so I got a bunch of incubators, and I put like $5 or $10 in at the beginning. But anyway, people were understanding of that. It wasn't like everyone knew that it was a big thing.
Well,
like I sometimes want to go back to those months where Pokemon Go was just starting to be a thing, because they were like the happiest 2 months ever. Like these,
it was
like,
so idealistic.
What?
It was so idealistic.
It was. Everyone was really hopeful. There were these little frail, pale kids walking the streets with a smile on their face
and
sunburn on their head.
Everybody would be like running to a place and like you'd just meet a stranger somewhere and be like, hey, what team are you on?
The Mystic people were kind of snobby. The Valor people would be like, Team Valor! They wouldn't ask you what team they're on. They're like, Team Valor! And All my fellow Instinct would be like, yeah, Team Valor, woo. And then they take over their gyms.
Yeah, Valor.
Uh-huh. But it was so much fun.
Instinct got so much hate.
Yeah, they did. Well, because...
We're both Instinct.
Yeah. I convinced him to.
Well, that's what I would have gone with anyway.
It was an odd choice at the beginning, but... like after day two, Instinct was obviously the meme lords, and so then you know the people that joined had more of a stigma that got bigger and bigger, and then they at probably like at the end of the week one they just embraced it. They're just like, yeah, we dab, so what? You got gyms, but we got the moves.
Well, also Valor was like, they were the most likely to cosplay as someone was from Skyrim. So, like, at, you know, the huge meetups in cities and stuff, they were, like, the ones with banners.
Yep.
And...
We had a
banner. Not like, you know, meet up over here banners, but, like flag...
Yeah.
Like, army banners.
Yeah. And then Mystic was always...
Show up with no shirt on and, like, war paint.
Yeah. Seeing some of those group photos was fun. Yeah. I didn't go to those, but
me neither.
Like those early ones.
I was very casual for that.
When it was really more of a celebration of the opening, people were forgiving. What really took them, and actually this is what took me away from it, was when they made a big deal and they said, Chicago, you're the hub. You're going to unlock the legendaries for the world. And we're going to charge admission to this park so that we can give prizes away.
That's ridiculous.
We're going to do all this stuff and it's going to be great. And that was, what, 6 months in?
No, that we talked about that on this. So it was less than two or three months ago.
Yeah, but so how long had it been a game? It was a while.
Well, it was the 1 year anniversary, I think.
Oh, so it's been a year, even worse. So they had the time to fix it. They definitely had the money to fix it. And they didn't. And so that's what lost fans. And so,
well, that was also a server problem. They somehow, I have no idea. I mean, if they were charging tickets, they knew how many people were going to be there. So they should have been able to expect, you know, that server load.
Exactly. And
it could have been phone companies too, but they were probably working with them.
And besides, on some level. It wasn't like it wasn't like all the numbers randomly got there. We had people flying in from all over the world, and we had notices of that. And I think, and I believe it was Nantech themselves advertised how people were traveling from all over the world to be in Chicago for the event. So it wasn't as though it was some sort of well kept secret. Like, all right, guys, we're gonna get them. We're gonna totally mess up their servers. It was like, oh man. I really hope these servers are going to be ready. I'm flying over there, Nantech. You know, you tweet Nantech. I'm flying there for your event. You know, in the meantime, the whole time they're praying Christian, Buddhist, and Hindu, and all kinds of other prayers. Like, all right, all of the gods, come on, guys, please.
Maybe that's why that happened. That one god got spurned because he didn't have enough. He was on Team Instinct.
Yeah.
Loki was on Team Instinct, and
I will totally didn't help get you the guys. Attention. Oh, I want that to be a thing now. Loki and whatever our guy's name was, I forget even. It was some pun on lightning. Spark? No, whatever it was. But anyways, Harry Potter Go.
So what do you think the gameplay will be?
It's not going to be
capturing things.
I think they said it was going to be you're going to have wild beasts.
Oh, that sounds really boring and lame.
I have no idea. Like,
I was thinking it would be more of like a Death Eaters and Aurors kind of a thing, and like that's what you're like the
like you choose a team or
gyms,
just
the gyms would be, but well, I don't know because who would choose the Death Eaters side?
Anyone
there's
going to
be
Slytherin?
Some kind of well, like see that's what the I was thinking like the control points would be like the gym equivalents because the other game that I can't remember the name of now that they did before Pokemon kind of was too like you walk around and you know, there's the various places that you fight for control over, and then there's kind of Pokestops too, and that's how you gain whatever items you use to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of am having a hard time thinking of like what, because the first two things were going to be obviously there's going to be the houses.
Yeah,
and
that would be a good
but
move.
But that would, I don't think that that's like something worth like fighting over for.
The house cup?
But like, why would you?
What why would you what want would your house the, to win the house
what
cup?
Would, no, what would be the like outside of Hogwarts? That's completely meaningless. So unless
no, it's not.
Unless well, that's.
What do you mean outside of Hogwarts? This is Harry Potter Go. Whenever you log in, you're logging into Hogwarts. That better be what their server's called.
You're correct.
I am?
The server better be called Hogwarts. No, but you know, if you go down to the creek and that's your location that you're fighting over, it makes more sense for it to be Aurors versus Death Eaters, for example. Then, like, you're fighting over points for the House Cup or whatever, and you know, Slytherin's in control or Ravenclaw's in control. But I don't see a thematically appropriate reason for them to be fighting over random, you know, hot spots.
I see what you're saying.
that's why it's, I see it more of like an Aurors versus Death Eaters kind of a thing, but nobody's going to play as a Death Eater because why?
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with that. It seems like it would be a waste of the potential of the game. Excuse me. To be where they could... How to say this? They could do... Like, the Pokemon started to do real-time events, where if you go to a particular place at a particular time, and they have this on the map, and they have a countdown, you could go and catch a legendary Pokemon. You could do, like, Wizard Duel Clubs, and then you could earn points. And it's just... It's like, at particular times of the day, there's meetups where you can represent Hufflepuff, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Gryffindor.
Yeah.
And I kind of like... I haven't been on Pottermore in a long time, but the early days when they had the wizard duels, that was a lot of fun.
How does that work?
The wizard duels, So this is Pottermore, early Pottermore. For those of you that...
Like,
didn't use Pottermore at the beginning.
2009, maybe?
Something like that. Really, it was years ago now. Early Pottermore was so much fun. They used to walk through the story, and as you walk through the story, you'd pick things up. And so, like, for example, when Harry went for his first time to pick up books, you picked out your books, and you, like, as a character for Pottermore, you got the books, like level one spells. And then there's the scene when Lucius slips the book into Ginny's cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
You get your next set of books then, for example, and in the game you're finding the books that you're going to use your wand and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. Actually, for your wand, you go through a series of questions, and then they ascertain whether you're malleable or firm and all these other sorts of things. But so as you get your spell books, you have different spells, and they had for example, I can't remember it, any of the spells besides Petrificus Totalus was the winning spell. Like, if you wanted to win, it was hard to cast because each spell had anchor points, and it traced along a pattern, which was what your wand would be doing, like the shape of it. And then at certain stop points, you'd get to, like, Petrificus Totalus, I think, was like P-T... And at certain letters, it would light up, and then there'd be a circle, and you'd have a real-time event where you'd have to stop it at the perfect time. Mm. And so if you stopped it too early, you'd get, like, 20%. If you stopped it too late, you'd either end the spell, or you'd get, like, you know, 10%. But if you stopped it right on the circle, you get 100%.
Yeah.
And at every single stop, like PTRFC or something like that, you have the potential to, you know, gain more and more power.
Right.
And so at the end of the spell, like, you can be do Petrificus Totalus, and somebody else can do Stupefy. And, like, Stupefy, if you do the spell perfectly, there's only, like, three letters you have to do. You get, like, 40 points, let's say, just a number off the top of my head, mm-hmm. versus Petrificus Totalus, if you did it perfectly, you'd get, like, 120. And so you'd have different spells that you can do that were at different levels of difficulty. If you failed the spell, you'd get zero. And so you could play with different types of spells.
Right.
And then, like, if you have, especially if there's, like, a variable thing, like, they have a chaotic professor that has their hand up and then they go down, you can pick out your spell and then how quickly you do that. Who knows? You can do a lot of things with that. There could also be beasts. And so if you're really good at charms or something like that, you can charm beasts maybe. In real time, and you have to be good at it. I don't know. But I do like how Pottermore originally did. You got house points for beating people. Like, you choose a house to challenge.
There's definitely got to be some kind of house points thing.
And
they'd be kind of crazy not to.
Yeah. And there... It was just, you know, a way that... Like, for example, let's say that maybe throughout the game, while you're in Harry Potter world, you can maybe make up friends. So, like, if you're in Slytherin, for example, you make friends with Malfoy and Crabbe and Goyle and those sorts of people, and you do things to appease them. Versus if you're in Gryffindor, maybe make friends with probably not the main cast, but let's say Fred and George Weasley. and those sorts of people, and then you could choose to drop them off at particular spots. So like you can choose who's really good with dueling, and I don't know. There's a lot of different things that they can do.
Build up your team.
Yeah, they'll sort of hold down the fort, and then you have to in order to gain that for your house, you have to beat them. I don't know. There's a lot of different things they can do, and they might not even do the same layout as Pokemon Go. They might do something a little different.
Well, it does say it's an AR game.
What's that mean?
Augmented
reality.
Yeah, like where you have the Pokemon in the real world.
So maybe it's just beasts.
I really hope it isn't.
You have to find things in the world like that they'd eat?
I don't know. The thing about finding like books and stuff, for example, sounds like it could be interesting. I don't know. It could go in any direction, really. So that's coming out in 2018.
That's in like 2 months.
Yeah, or 12. Who knows? It's probably going to be summer
2018. Yeah, it should be the summer. The release day for Spring. Pokemon Go was good.
When was it? Like early June?
Something like that. So right around there would be ideal, Nantech. I think everyone that is going to do AR was exposed to AR through Pokemon Go.
And yeah.
So they're going to have like a pit in their stomach to do it. So to do it differently might be to their advantage. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Put a pin in that.
Speaking of mobile games, so the South Park mobile game, Phone Destroyer, came out. And remember they had that episode about how mobile games with microtransactions were like ruining people's lives and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And now they have a mobile game with microtransactions. So when you start up the game, you know the title screen that they have in before every episode with the black and white?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a title screen almost identical to that, and it says, "This game contains both in-app purchases and the option to watch ads for rewards. To disable the ability to make in-app purchases, adjust your device settings. In-app purchases cost real money and are charged to your account. And for those reasons, this game should not be played by anyone."
Way to update your screen there for South Park. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, like, for a while, people were calling them hypocrites for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But that screen solves the problem, I think.
Uh-huh. It's true to their
like, for no reason, like just that one little line at the end is like, you know, we know.
Well, it's like
the fact that they're hypocrites makes them less hypocritical.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, magically.
That's what they did with they got so much flack because they were like violent and swearing and stuff like that while they're talking about how people can do things better. And so anyways, that's I think one of the reasons they put up that original screen. Like, this has I forget what it says.
I think
even.
It's always been there.
Yeah. But they knew it was coming, and so they did that. You know, it was like a conscious thing. They probably had the screen pretty much ready too. But it's just I lulled when I saw it. This game should not be played by anyone.
Yeah. I haven't played it, but it looks pretty good for a free, well, you know,
microtransactions
free game. So I'll check that out sometime. You haven't played it, have you?
Nope. Thought about it.
Well, that's good.
Ugh.
Also, speaking of Pokemon, how do you feel about Pikachu talking?
It was weird.
It was kind of creepy.
There's a funny article written about it that captures the gasp, the visceral experience of the crowd. I'm just chalking up to Ash got brain damage.
Me too.
To sleep at night, I'm just going to think that's what happened, and for some reason we were hearing what Ash heard. But this goes into a larger conversation about there's something that's worked really well for this show this whole time, and it's like, I don't know if I'd call it a trope, but it's well known that Pokemon can just most of the time say only their name. Besides, like, Meowth and a couple other ones.
Have there been others?
Yeah, like Mewtwo could think inside your head, and then there was another one. There were a couple of them that could speak in one way or another, but that was special to them, and it was weird.
Yeah.
And there were reasons for it. Like, Meowth tried for years to be more human, and then eventually got the speech. Versus all the other Pokemon just embrace their Pikachu-ish, Pikachu-ness, for example. And so, like, when Ash first picks up Pikachu, he has no clue what's going on in this little rodent's brain. He's like, you're going to go in your Pokeball. No. You're going to follow behind me. No. And then finally, I stopped watching years ago, but when I was watching, he was having, like, full conversation with Pikachu. Like,
wait, you didn't see the latest episode?
No. That's okay with me. I'll just remember my childhood happily. But anyways, he's like, oh man, I'm hungry. I'm gonna go out and eat ramen. And Pika's like, Pika, Pika, Pikachu. And he's just like, oh, but we had that yesterday, Pikachu. Pika! No, Pikachu, come on! Pika. Fine, okay, we'll go next door for pizza. You know? And it's just like, he was having full conversations with them anyway, so I don't see what us hearing Pikachu say what he said, how it adds to anything. But
because they couldn't think of a particular inflection with just using Pikachu syllables for whatever Pikachu said in
I don't know. That voice actress is talented. There's been a bunch of times
that's
just
true.
With the way that she said Pika, where I'm just like, I don't know what you just said, but man, it hurt. That was, it didn't get a very good reaction. I should have seen that coming.
It seemed kind of mixed. Like, the girls were like, what? No way. And the guys were like, oh.
That's true. There were a couple people that were like,
clap, yeah. Clap,
clap. Question clap?
Question clap.
Oh.
Oh. What else do we got? Amazon wants to turn Lord of the Rings into the next Game of Thrones, is the headline. That sounds like a terrible idea, since...
Tell us what you think at tcast.whatever.
Good job! Tcast at...
The Dragon's Treasure?
Curse you, because now I can't remember. Tcast at thedragonstreasure.com.
Whatever it is. Yeah, write us there. I got a lot of feels about it. But I was talking to Nick beforehand, and it seems like the only way that they would make this happen is if season 3 is them talking about which is better, a cave or a forest.
Yeah. I mean, they just had Lord of the Rings, what, 10 years ago?
Right about.
So, I mean... But seriously, it's like, we don't need a new one. The one we have is fine. It's not like it's 60 years old. Making it again wouldn't improve anything. It's not like there was bad acting or, you know, anything that significant got cut. I mean, there were some things that got taken out, but most of what got cut out was cut out not because they didn't have enough time, but because it wasn't necessary. The exception being the part at the very end where
back?
The books, they go back to the Shire and Saruman took it over.
Good thing they cut out that trolling Saruman thing. So that would even be possible.
I forgot about that.
Shoot him. You could put in a couple little filler arcs where they had a minor adventure, but I really don't see what this is. I've never heard anybody seriously talk about how they did injustice to the series.
I've heard, like, nerds being like, they didn't have this character in there.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, you know, I read that part. I never finished Lord of the Rings. I've tried so many times, and I've never been able to make it past the second book. But I've heard them complain about how they didn't have this part in or that part in, and it's like, that doesn't add anything. That adds nothing.
Besides that character. It's a life, Nick. They can add in those characters, but to stretch it out into what Game of Thrones has become. I mean, so how many hours? So let's see, we're on season what for Game of Thrones?
Seven, eight?
So that's like, because there's a couple times where they were a little bit under, so that's what, like 65, or if it's season eight, it's like 70 plus hours.
Yeah.
To draw that much from something really well done.
I don't think there's that much that they... I mean, unless they want to do, like, two or three seasons. If they want to... It's kind of like a lot of Stephen King books, where a movie isn't enough, but a several-season show is too much.
Yeah. Okay,
like
so...
They tried to do it, like, in the mid-90s, they tried to do a lot of his books in... like mini series form, where it's like, you know, we'll show like an hour a week for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and like it still didn't work. So you'd have like a 6 hour movie basically, and it was still not enough.
So we can make this a little bit more solid too. Like, what are the scenes that really stand out from the Lord of the Rings? So the first scene that most people tend to reference is, that still only counts as one. You couldn't do that in the show, unless he did something else that was really incredible. Like, you wouldn't just want to shoot him taking down an Elephant.
You know what the problem is? The problem is there's not enough people that read the books to remake it. They'd be remaking the movies.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, they can
be remaking the books.
They would,
and the movies are iconic enough that it would be like, I can't even think of an example, but it's just weird. It's,
you would need to make some nods to the movies. So, like it with. So with that scene I just talked about, what would be kind of fun to see in a show would be a nod to that. Like, you know, there's Elephants off in the distance, and Legolas is like, I think I could take that out in six arrows, or something like that. And or Gimli takes down something equally monstrous, like he climbs on the back of, like, a troll or something, and, you know, takes it down, and Legolas, that still only is one. You know, something sort of like, you would have to make nods to the movies for sure, but... But people haven't, like, read the books is a great thing, because that allows them to sort of extract a couple more ounces of information, just as long as they didn't focus on that too much, because like you said, the stuff that was left out for a reason.
I don't know. I think they'd be better off going with, like, the expanded universe, like the Silmarillion.
That, yeah.
Like, okay, so they took The Hobbit and turned that into a trilogy. And you saw what happened with that, right?
I saw what happened with that.
You don't want that to happen with three books and turn that into three seasons.
Yeah.
But with the Silmarillion, like, from what I understand, it's a whole, just like a pile of lore.
Yeah.
And you could go places with that.
Yeah, and also...
It's more of a setting than a book.
That reminds me, there was a PS2 game that you were in this band that was basically almost literally a knockoff of the main troop. Like, you had a Gimli that's name was like Jimly or something, you know. It wasn't, it was like that close.
Spelled with a G.
Yeah, exactly. G-I-M.
There's like a little like triangle above it.
Little X head mark. That's the only difference. You had an archer. You had a ranger.
Armless.
Yeah. It was. I mean, it was just like, it was total knockoff. And I hope it was consciously so. And what you did is you were supposed to support them. And so in the game, when they were in the mines of Moria, the one hobbit knocks the bucket, Took knocks the bucket down the well.
Fool of a Took.
That triggers the army. You're directly underneath the well, and I think there's like a little mini game where you have to hit X at the right time during the cutscene to in order to avoid the thing. If not, there should be something like that. But anyways, you're like, oh, I remember that scene in the movie. They're right there, and then you're underneath them, and you fight like a horde so that they don't have to fight everybody. And so their success relies on your success. Anyway, so what I'm saying about this is, if they were to do the series, they should take an approach like that, and they shouldn't necessarily call it just Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. It should be like...
Yeah, that's what I was saying, like a setting thing more than just like, let's do the movies again.
And we have enough...
Because they're not going to... Well, they would do the books again.
Oh, yeah.
They left so much stuff out, but that's bad for the most part.
Right, and I think we have the technology now. Like
we had the technology then too.
Well, I mean,
it was only 10 years ago. The technology and
I'm not saying movies. To do the scenes. What I'm saying is there we have scenes from the movie. If we were to move the camera 30 feet, so that what was happening in the movie was just like at the corner of the screen, or we can simulate the characters so that they're over there, and if you're close and you're watching closely enough, you're like, oh, that's when they crossed the river or whatever happens. We have the technology to sort of make it to insert some of the scenes of the movie into scenes that would happen in the show that way, which then you wouldn't have to recast the original cast and put a whole bunch of makeup on them to make them look younger. You know, and we also wouldn't have to recast random people and have them enact the scenes that
they probably iconic. Have to have some crazy licensing thing for that, which probably wouldn't happen. Mm. Or it might because it's Amazon and they like throw money at people to get their attention.
Exactly.
Hey, you, where did this $100 come from? Oh, hi. What's up?
But overall, yeah, I don't think that very many fans would be too hype about this. It'd be an uphill battle. They should do something, like you said, for the Silmarillion, or take some liberties from the books and try not to focus on the exact same things that the movies did.
Yeah.
Like, the movie did such a great job. They really did.
Like, Shadow of Mordor is really interesting, and that doesn't have any... It's... like tangentially related. In fact, I think the only reason that they could make it was because it didn't use any of the Lord of the Rings characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of licensing. Yeah. And it's a really interesting game and goes into the lore a lot. And
it looks like so good.
That's why it's interesting, because of the lore. You can always have new, you know, Gimlies and stuff. The places and the settings going to be the same.
Yeah. The world is nice. And it's the world that inspires most D&D campaigns and all kinds of other stuff. And so there's lots you can do with it.
It's practically every fantasy setting of the last, you know, since it came out.
Has been,
When was Chronicles of Narnia written?
I can't remember offhand.
Probably really close.
I can't remember if it was before or after.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's a thing. We'll see if we get any more news on it.
Hopefully we won't.
Just kidding.
And the last story of the week is kind of a weird one. The Dragon Ball creator Akira Toriyama got kind of exposed as having some shady investments and all kinds of offshore accounts and stuff. I'm not too sure exactly what the details are, but yeah, not all on the up and up. But thanks for supporting the official releases, guys.
This is why you support the official release. Our hero is forced by the evil hands of capitalism to go offshore to other places.
Other people caught out in this are, and companies caught out in this, Apple, Nike, Queen Elizabeth.
What?
Justin Timberlake, Madonna.
I didn't miss that Queen Elizabeth was in this.
That's crazy, right?
Just a lot.
There's something different about a queen doing tax evasion than like a, you know, a president or something doing tax evasion.
Yeah,
because it's more like you're stealing from yourself if you're the queen.
Right? Oh, I'll pull one over on them. Your Majesty?
Like, that's got to be, like, the worst thing for,
I stole this bonnet from my bonnet drawer. Your Majesty?
I stole the crown jewels.
You're right.
You know, like, that's, like, kind of what it feels like. It's just completely different than like the president or, you know, the prime minister or whatever doing some tax evasion.
Yeah, so all the true royalty was caught up in this. We had the king of anime, the queen of England, and then the
Justin Timberlake,
the king of boy bands.
Yeah.
Then just the eye king or the I ambiguous gender ruler. Anyways, so another thing that we found this week was a interesting argument about why you should be pirating anime. So the argument in a nutshell is this. Right now, streaming sites are getting pretty big, and that's your primary source of anime. So it's a matter of whether you're streaming it from a legal site or illegal site. A legal site or illegal sites? That's harder to say than you think.
An illegal site.
An illegal site or a legal site, yes. And of course, the right answer is always do it legally. But many people haven't, and there's been a lot of...
Or can't, because not all shows are...
Well, that's part of the argument. So they've done polls on Reddit and all kinds of other places about, you know, how long you've been watching anime and when did you, especially with Crunchyroll being hacked, when did you have your account or how did this hacking affect you? And like 70%, 60 to 70% of people didn't have their own account. So... and this number is probably higher because only certain numbers of people admit to it. The identitylessness of the internet sort of allowed people to be honest, but...
Also, if it's Reddit, their chances are they're more likely to be...
pirates?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they've done this a few times.
Tech savvy is what I was going to say, but sure.
Pirates.
Not
that's
a
what
whole
that is.
Lot of difference there.
Hackers.
The Venn diagram is pretty
circular.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's part of it. But they've done this again and again, and they find that most people don't have the account, the paid account, the premium account, the one that's actually supporting the industry with money.
And why is this?
Because streaming sites are not focusing, nor do they need to focus on creating a product that you want. They have some shows, but more and more the industry is trying to gain money because they're losing money by selling exclusive rights. And so, like, Netflix will have two, three shows that you want to watch, but then they won't have five or six.
And next year they'll have 30.
Yeah, next year they'll have 30, but they're still going to be missing out on a bunch of shows that you want to watch that you can only get on Crunchyroll or Hulu. And the ones that you can get on Crunchyroll, you can't get on Hulu. And the ones you have on Hulu, you can't get on Crunchyroll. Right. And it's just like, so you have to get 5 to 6 streaming sites in order to watch the shows that you want to watch. And that's a problem because...
And eventually you're paying like HBO level cable bill prices.
Oh, easily. If you wanted,
if you've got Netflix, Hulu, Crunchyroll, and Amazon, then that's like $50 a month.
Right. And the reason people right now are purchasing accounts, are purchasing the streaming sites instead of just doing it illegally is it's a moral argument. Like, you should be supporting the industry. But that being said, the industry is doing stuff that is reducing competitiveness. And so if you keep supporting them making these sort of poor decisions and then making inferior products,
it's not reducing competitiveness. It's being competitive in a bad way.
It's not competitive because you can't go to Hulu for the shows that you find on Netflix.
But their way of thinking is, we're being competitive because we've got this thing which you can't buy there. But what it should be is, we're competitive because we have all of the things that you can get at the other place, but better.
Right. And what it should be is that we offer 7 out of 10 of your favorite shows, and we only charge this much. And the other place can have, well, we have a few of those shows. We have 8 out of 10 of the shows you want to watch, and we charge only $1 more a month. I mean, and then you find out what's worth it to you, and then if whichever place gets more money gets more anime, and I mean, that's how you make it. But anyways, so for instance, the largest streaming site out there, the largest legal streaming site out there, is Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll really doesn't utilize their medium. They offer you the shows, but for example, and we'll put a link in the description, I guess.
Sure.
This video is actually pretty good. But basically, Crunchyroll, it doesn't even offer you a buffer bar. You know, it's just, you don't know how much it's buffered.
There's a bunch of things that it doesn't have. Like, for a modern streaming thing, especially like a major,
well, the buffer bar is in its beta.
For one of the biggest things, it has a pretty minimal interface.
Right. And so what you get is basically what you get with illegal streaming sites, except you get to sleep at night knowing that you supported the official release. But it doesn't give you anything.
Sometimes it's actually worse than some of the other options.
Like if you like to kiss your anime, if you know what I'm saying, you know, or you like and get some, or, you know, I'm not gonna make any more. So all these other ones, they're offering basically the same service, except faster, and they offer you more shows. And that's the main thing that the illegal sites have, they're one-stop shops. You can go there and get everything. And that's not what the streaming sites are getting for you, for one. And then for two, the legal sites, they could up their game. As a suggestion from the video was, they can, Crunchyroll could probably pretty easily strike up a deal with My Anime List and have the episodes linked to your anime list, so that you can update in real time your opinion of the show. You can rate the things. You can then have it all queued up for you easily, so that it'll start, and you could write, you know, notes on episodes.
I think My Anime List is associated with some streaming site, because you could go there and watch episodes of things.
But are they exclusive?
So this was just, I don't know, because I don't watch anything on there.
Well, and that sort of shows what's being talked about. Like, the streaming sites are not doing much. What needs to happen is, the streaming sites need to make a product that people want to buy. And it has to be more than just the moral argument of, I should be
right.
supporting. It has to be something like, oh my gosh, I want that. And it's possible to do that. There's lots of ways to do it. And there's lots of ways to make a better product. Just right now, they're not being greatly incentivized to do it, because, again, all they have to do is strum up the chord of, you know, you really should be giving your money to the anime industry. And really, they should. But that argument should be turned on its head. You know, like, no, you know, you guys are in the industry. You should make me want to buy it. And people will get merchandising, and people, even the pirates, they go to cons a lot of times and buy lots of anime merchandise. As long as they want to buy it, it's making money. But the sites right now are just simply not innovating, And so by us, like, giving it just enough money to survive because we can sort of squeeze the pennies out of our pocket to just barely watch two of our favorite shows and then pirate the rest, you know, it's not sustainable. It's not helping them, and it's not really helping us. Like, we get an inferior product, they get a lackluster response, and then the cycle continues. And the people that have been watching anime for a long period of time, if they don't have an account now, quite honestly, they're not going to get one unless they offer a superior product.
Yeah.
And so that's the argument that this I've had Ice Cube staring at me confused now for like an hour and a half because that as I'm watching this video
I will scroll down the Ice Cube and Trump shrugging gifs.
But that was my response. I'm just watching this like I've never thought about it this way. That's the argument. And so it makes a lot of sense. We really do need Crunchyroll, especially, like, you've got all these rights. You can step up. You should step up. But if not them, it's every year that passes.
I don't think it's even an anime exclusive option. I just think anime has way more. It's way better at being illegal.
Well, right, because we've incentivized that activity.
Well. Not really. I think it's just that people have been doing fan subs for 30 years.
Right.
Desperately and like, you know, like scratching little VHS things.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. That was incentivized because they wanted it in English and they wanted their friends to enjoy it.
Yeah, you're right.
So, like, the desperation is what created the greatness.
Yeah.
And so if we did more at incentivizing legal activity, especially cheap legal activity, where you could feel like you're giving towards something that you love, everybody wins.
But I was going to say, I've got Amazon Prime, and I signed up for Netflix 30-day trial just to watch Stranger Things, and like both of those sites, neither of them have, like, I've got this huge list of movies that I want to watch, and neither of them have almost all of them. That is to say, like, out of like, let's say 30 movies, there's like two.
In order for you to watch those movies, you have to go to the Admiral Theater, Nick. By the way, that's something else weird. This is breaking away from the point for a second. The Admiral Theater drives around their big old billboard truck around ASIN in like circles. And it's just like, I mean, I guess there are a lot of pervs out there, you know, in the anime crowd, but it's just like a lot of them are like 13, like, you know, 13 and dressed up with bright hair and things. It's just like, you really think that that's the best use of your time, Admiral Theater? For those of you that don't know, that's an 18 plus theater. So,
but it's as something that, like, it's not like an obscure movie. It's a, you know, a classic movie, and no, it's not porn. And just in case I had to clarify, you should be able to, you know, get more than like two or three things, more than 10% of like your huge backlog if you're signed up for multiple accounts. And I find it interesting that when you go to Hulu, because somehow they know my email and they're like, hey, sign up for your free thing. You can't go on there and search their library at all. You have to have an account to search it. What are they hiding? If they have such a good service that like, you know, you pay whatever a month, if it's really that worth it, you should be saying what you're getting rather than basically gambling on maybe they have something I care about.
And right, then I mean, what is that?
Search it and it's like, oh, actually, no, they don't. They have old reruns of
The A-Team?
Yeah. Like, no, I already get that from Amazon.
I mean, what kind of shady business is that? Like, you know,
I think Netflix is the same.
Like, you go to a restaurant, they're like, Do you want number 10? Well, what's that? Give us your money, you'll see.
Like, $16, that's what.
A month. Yeah, you should totally be able to search. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's other sites that you can, like, just search, like, every streaming service, and then it'll give you a list. But they're all broken. Presumably, I'm assuming, because they keep changing the algorithm to throw off those sites.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so stupid.
Stupid kids. Stupid hippies!
And this is what I'm saying by, you know, you need to be competitive to be successful, because if Hulu wants to compete with Netflix, which I'm assuming is their biggest competitor, maybe Amazon Prime is, probably actually, because so many people get it for, you know, because it comes with a million things, you want to have a search. You can search Amazon and know what you're getting with it. You can't search either Netflix or Hulu. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's like... It's like you go to the library and... hey, you want to get a library card? Well, sure, but what books do you have? It's a secret.
And a library card will cost $10 a month.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Also, I'm surprised that there's no, like, kind of streaming thing or whatever you want to call it for ebooks.
Really?
Amazon has one, but it's terrible. Like, its selection is abysmal. And it's like $15 a month, and you get basically nothing. It has a selection of 2 million books, but they're all terrible books. Like, that sounds like a lot, but when you think of how many books there are...
Yeah, there's probably, what, probably a million books written
this
year.
It's like 200 million or something. It's like you don't even get the best sellers.
That's pretty surprising.
You get Harry Potter, and you get, you know, some other, like, classics, and you get, I don't know. It's just really weird. Anyway.
I say we take a quick break and then we'll come back with the second infusion. Got a few things to talk about. Yeah, I watched Black Clover for you all this week, so you're welcome. Ugh. Well, see you in a couple minutes.
And in the meantime, you can send your... Oh, we already did that.
Yeah, we did that.
We don't have to say the email address.
Yeah, you know where to write, you jerks. Tell us what you think about pirating and whatever else I said to write about earlier.
All right. We will see you now. And with that nonsense, we return to the second infusion.
Yeah. You don't know what you just missed. Anyways, this
is... I know what I miss. I know what you missed. Jeez, water everywhere. Why is there tea dripping all over my keyboard?
I don't know.
Clearly you don't.
Nope.
Don't know how to pour a cup of tea.
I know how to pour cups of tea. Anyways.
Not properly.
I didn't say this, but the Mad Hatter's concoction...
spilled everywhere.
For the second infusion. And that's where the second infusion is going to go. Everywhere. But as Nick
leaves... You keep talking, I'll be back!
Okay. Hi, everybody. Now it's just my show. We're going to do Nick's wish of an NPR 1990s cast. So, as I noticed about the Mad Hatter's tea, is that it does the classic green tea thing, in which little bits of the green tea sort of eventually come from the liqueur, the liquid, down to the bottom of the cup. And so at the bottom of the cup, you get a fuller mouthfeel and a little bit more astringency. That way, the cup sort of starts... as a whole, and then get stronger as you drink it. And especially with those citrus notes in the Mad Hatter's concoction, for example, it pulls the oils from the orange down with it. So you get this really, really nice citrus, like almost... Thank you.
There's water coming out of my keyboard.
Awesome. Why'd that happen?
I don't know. Why did it happen?
I don't know.
This is what happens when I put you in charge.
It's what happens when you don't go to the bathroom enough.
That went in an odd direction.
Mm-hmm. Like something else. So anyway, you get all the notes of the Mad Hatters in the first couple sips, but toward the end, it just gets stronger, but not in an unpleasant way. Like, if you like green tea, you get that experience, plus the sour patch of the orange. It was actually really, really pleasant. So, I guess as we wait for Nick to be done with his cleaning. Oh. No, looks he's staying in here. All right.
God.
Black Clover. Man, I did not watch a full episode before this episode of Black Clover, and I don't feel like I missed anything. They seriously, like, honestly, they started the episode by explaining the freaking wizard
thing. To be fair, was it because you basically heard the plot for the last, what, 5-6 episodes?
No, it was because they started the episode off like, long ago, there was a wizard who saved us all from oblivion. He became known as the Wizard King. And they showed him defeating the thing, and they're like, okay, that's a thing. And, alright, like, I think the quintessential moment so far... Okay. The quintessential moment so far of Black Clover was in this episode. Remember how we thought that the Loli was going to have a sad backstory? That's what the T-Man's thought was. Well, that was his guess. And guess what happened this episode? We got her sad-ish backstory.
Sad-ish?
Ish. She was part of the royal family. She's the opposite of the main character in that she's magically gifted, but she can't control her magic. So, like, her thing is giant water bubbles that she can't make go 3 feet without turning. And so, anyways, she loses control over power. That's the climax of the episode, which was really, like...
So he's Rock Lee, she's Naruto.
Actually, as a matter of fact, they also made him kind of like a part Hinata this episode. because he like, spies on her while she's doing her magic practice, and he's like, oh, I get her now. She has trouble, too. She's so cool. And
oh
then,
God.
Yeah, seriously, they've taken three characters now and just sort of funneled them down into this. Except he's like, I get her now.
Oh,
she
man.
Has a thing. God,
wouldn't it be great if the dub was just like he's a cool guy?
That would be so nice. Because seriously, like some of the stuff he says is like it's not that bad.
Would you please go out with me?
Yeah. Except will you please go out with me?
Here's a love letter. Would you go out with? Like I don't care if you do, but. It'd be cool if you did. Here's a love letter.
Some of their jokes in this episode were like, they were. What the setups were funnier than the punchline. I don't want to say it. Like, they would have been funny if you didn't
you
see where they're going.
Oh, like the setup ruins it.
Kind of. It's just like it's like they want to tell a simple joke, and all the time there wasn't any like. Highbrow humor in this episode.
Really?
Really. It was just like, all right, guys, look, that chicken's going to cross the road. And the chicken crosses the road, and that's the punchline. Like, and so it's just like, and then, or, you know, they're like, hey, I wonder what that chicken's going to do. And the chicken is heading towards the road. And they're like, I bet it's going to go out for dinner. And then the chicken crosses the road, and then they end the punchline. It's just like the setup is more elaborate than it need be, and then the punchline is flat. They did that all episode with a couple jokes. The one funny joke is I don't even remember the Sasuke character's name. It's like Yumi or something. He gets into the most prestigious order of the Magi, the wizards,
mm-hmm.
And his teacher is a total asswipe. Like he's just like. Oh, man, this room is going to be wasted upon you, and I don't want to be the one to teach you, but the person in charge says I must, so that's must be what it is. And the guy's like, yo, my name's Yumi. And he's just like, You will address me as whatever my name is. Who cares, senpai? And so that's the Sasuke character. And the main character, he gets this really shoddy room, and he just bursts into tears because he's never had his own room before. And it's supposed to be a touching moment, but they spend the entire time telling you what's going on, as opposed to like really letting you just see the moment. But anyway, the teacher for the main character is this really laid back, chill dude who's like literally just someone a grade above him. their interaction feels
he's a chunin.
Yeah, he's a chunin. Yeah, pretty much. It feels really natural, like a big brother type, and not like 1984 Big Brother, but like Oni-chan Big Brother.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, thank you.
That was the closest thing to a literal spit take that's ever happened. I actually had to check my mic.
Your mic starts pouring out water. What happened here? I don't know. So anyway,
just wanted to make sure that I didn't ruin two electrical things with my tea today.
Okay, that's good.
We're
on a good pace. So the Oni-chan with the main character, he goes, you know, make sure you write your family. Don't make anyone worry about you. That's what it is to be a man. It's like, okay, that's a fun message. And so the main character writes his orphanage, and so does the other guy, the Sasuke.
Yeah.
And so the letters arrive at the same time, somehow with the same owl. I don't know. Actually, an owl. Actually, okay. there's a portal that opens up.
I thought you were making a Harry Potter reference.
No, I wish I was, but they were. there's a portal that opens up, an owl comes by, drops off the message, and then it goes through another portal. It's just like, well, what's even the point of the owl at that point? Like, you can just portal something there. Fine. You know what? I get it. Harry Potter references. You can do what you do. So then the nun comes in and is just like, oh, Yumi or the Sasuke character, he made it into the thing. And they're like, oh, we knew that was going to happen. That's great. And then they're like, we should get ready. We should make like some kind of feast for when the main character comes back, because we all know he failed. And then they're like, oh man, his handwriting's really bad, but he made it too. Like, they for some reason, like, stopped the show to tell you how bad his handwriting was. Because if you don't get it, he's not good at things, show. But he's in there, just like, what? Nani? Okay. Well, this is a happy day. And then they just leave that scene. And anyway, flash forward, the lowly little girl, she's the royal family, and she makes a big stink about how she's on a different level than commoners. And everybody else there is just like, we're like, you're the same class as the main character. I've been in the Black Bulls longer than you. You should kind of stop. Like, you're not in a prestigious house. We're all at the same level. Let's work together. And she's like, no, commoner, I'm so much better than you. Here's a bubble that went the wrong direction. And I meant for that to happen. And then she loses her power, which is supposed to be the climax of the episode. And it seems really cool. They again, like the duck crossing the road, they play it up. They finally get her to this place where she's surrounded by the water and, like, drowning. She's 30 feet up in the air because she's manifesting water from the air or something like that. Who knows? And nobody can get to her. Like, there's one person who does space manipulation. So he makes portals.
Yep.
And then they're like, can you do that with her? And he's like, I need to get closer, and I can't get anywhere near that because it's just spiraling water everywhere. And they literally say, this is the quintessential Black Clover moment. They literally say, if only we had somebody that can dispel magic. And literally, the main character somehow gets flung at them. Like, he just flies across the screen into the hand of the main guy in the Black Bulls. They're like, all right, good timing.
Like, he wasn't... I thought you said he was already there.
He was watching the girl, and she was in the forest, and then this spiral water thing brought her out of the forest towards this compound, their stronghold. And I still don't know what... I think he was hit by the water. Anyways, he was just flung at random into their crowd right after they say, if only we had somebody that could dispel magic. Like, they know what his gig is. They know what he can do. It's not like they say, if only we had Naruto, the main character here, and he flies at them. He's like, if only we had somebody, like, he was trying to pick out this puzzle.
If only we had someone with a demon fox sealed inside of
him. Yeah! It's just like, you know who that fits. You know exactly the only person that... So anyway, then he takes him and he throws him 30 feet up in the air to... Like, at this point, pause. What do you think he did?
Nothing, just hit it.
He made his sword and he hit it. Like, there was no... Like, we've set up the chicken crossing the road for, like, 10 minutes, okay? And it's just like, whoa, that's impressive magic. I can't do anything like this. If only... There's one logical conclusion. He's gonna hit it with his sword, you know? But then they, like, it's like this big moment where there's supposed to be a reveal, and it's like, there's no reveal! We knew what was gonna happen once they said that's what they were gonna do! Like, and it's not like it could fail. It seems like whenever the sword touches magic, it dispels it. So you know it's going to work. Like, it's just like, what's the point? Like, we get it. The chicken is crossing the road. Yeah, so anyways, that was that episode. And then it's dispelled. And then she has, like, PTSD because everyone calls her a failure. And she's just like, oh, no, they're going to make fun of me. And then he's just like, the main character is just like, you. And she's like, oh, no, he's going to make fun of me. He says, you. Oh, no. And she has flashbacks to everyone making fun of her. You have so much awesome magic! I love you so much! Or, sorry, you have so much magic! I love you so much! You should work with us! And we'll get stronger! So you're welcome. I watched the episode, and that was what happened this week in Black Clover. He does that literally every line, like... It's no joke.
I know.
It's not memifying it.
I've seen
it.
The compilations.
That rattle. That voice actor has to stop doing that. He or she's going to ruin their vocal cords.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. South Park is strong.
Have you been watching South Park?
I haven't been.
It's okay.
Next week, I want to talk a little bit about The Walking Dead, but I'll wait until the T-Man's here.
Cause yeah, because I don't know. I watched the first season, and that's it.
So, but what did you watch this week?
I watched...
Besides The Ancient Magus Bride.
I watched...
and Super.
UQ Holder, which... I thought that I stopped reading it at a certain point that... The show went beyond, but now it's bringing back memories. So I don't remember when I stopped reading, but they introduced this like little girl character who like everybody has a different form of immortality, which is kind of cool. So like. The main two characters, they're vampire, or not the main two characters, but the two characters you meet first are vampires. So the only way that you could stop them is if you, I guess, crucify them.
Crucify?
I guess.
That escalated quickly, but okay, sure.
Well, like, they've been, like, dismembered and, like, have had...
Stakes drawn
like,
through their
all
heart?
Kinds of huge...
Huge
big damage happened to them that would, like, kill anyone else instantly. But then they're just like, well, I'm fine now.
Pause. Hold on a second. So, huge damage reminded me. In our D&D campaign...
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think is the bigger threat, me or the wizard? The rogue or the wizard?
Well, you can do a lot of damage all at once, but he can do area of effect damage.
Right, and so but that's what I mean, is just like, I see the benefits of both, a lot, but I don't know who the bigger threat is.
I think you're better at actually getting your, what you want to do done.
That's right.
And he doesn't necessarily... fulfill his accomplishments.
He doesn't live up to his potential.
well, no, he'll get like a plan but then he doesn't necessarily fulfill it.
So, we're playing 3.5 D&D, so I don't know how they do rogues nowadays, but I still got the backstab bonus, and I just went level 5, so I've got 3d6 of extra damage if I take out their dexterity. So, this week, with a guy that had 1 HP, I did, like, 15 damage, and then there's this big, huge, crazy, spell-casting, plate-mail-wearing lady that comes out, and I roll, I crit, I confirm the crit, I roll my damage, but she has her dex, so I don't have my dexterity bonus, and I do, well, I should have done 4 damage. Just like, eek. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, but then I don't crit, and then I do like...
You're great in certain situations.
Yeah. But then we flank her, and so then I think I did 15 and 17 damage to her, respectively, so, like, holy crap. So, and then our wizard, he had 3 really high-level snakes he fought at the same time, and they were pretty nasty.
Displacer serpents.
Yeah, bless you. He was dealing, like, gosh, like almost
like
10 damage a round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 10 damage to each of them around. I mean, that was pretty decent. He was rolling well too, but
yeah.
Yeah, he used all his highest level spells, so I mean, he kind of blows his load, and I can keep I can keep stabbing, if you know what I mean. Jab, jab, jab.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so that was fun, and we just were in our prime, and I just so that's a theory crafting thing, like what is I mean, they're both useful to have around, and thank goodness we have both of us, because shoot, in that scenario, we really needed both of us, because those snakes would have caused us big problems if we let them, like, flank us with that lady. But luckily, he was able to deal with them. I was able to deal with, well, mostly me. I'll give a little bit of credit to the T-Man. She decided to swing at him, luckily, because I'm this little 3-foot tall teeny thing that just kept poking her in the dick or something. Who knows what happened? like, just tons of damage. But okay, so, yeah, they've done to these vampires lots of damage.
Yeah, and they basically just, like, come right back together, like Legos. But there's one time where, like, they somehow attack him in a certain way that forms a cross, and he's like, oh.
Kagebushi no jutsu!
But, like, there's another guy who, like, he has a certain amount of lives. So, like, every time he dies, he loses a life, like, in a video game. And, like,
can he gain lives, like, in a video game?
I don't know. Everyone's kind of, like, secretive about it because, you know, like...
Is this, like, an evil campaign?
Because
vampires are generally not, you know, benevolent. Though, it's my favorite stories, they are.
It's sort of vague because, like, the goal... Or the organization is like, we're immortal people, but we're gonna help normal people out. And so far, everyone that they've met until this episode has been decidedly evil.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least malevolent. Like, there was, you know, a group that wanted to burn down a village to make way for new development, for example. So, roughly speaking, they're the good guys. Oh no, my phone! This is... Later. And then there's another guy who's like a robot, so, you know, he can add new parts on to, you know, solidify him or whatever. But, so they introduce this new girl who can make save points. She's not immortal so much as a time traveler.
Okay.
So when she dies, she goes back to the last save point she made. And anyone...
Some ReZero action going on.
Yeah, pretty much. So she can...
Does she remember it like ReZero?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she can... If someone's holding her, she can bring them with them.
Oh, cool.
So it's even better than ReZero. And she can tell people. It's reached a kind of point where they're bringing in characters from Negima, which is the sequel, or the prequel, and
I want to watch that, by the way. I think I'm going to pick that up this week.
UQ Holder?
Negima.
The anime's terrible. It's like... At some point, they were like, well, we got the first arc in, and we'll make stuff up for the rest.
After watching Black Clover for a week, I have a new tolerance for terrible, so I think I'll give it a shot.
It's not bad, it's just wrong. Like, you know how Full Metal Alchemist was good?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if, after, like, episode 13, let's say... They just, like, decided to
they didn't need the make it stone.
Bad. Like, let's say instead of that, they're like, well, actually, the Philosopher's Stone is Edward's missing arm.
Okay.
It's just, like, goes completely off point. And then they made a bunch of OVAs that were actually... good, but like there was no connection point in between, and it just assumed that you were reading the manga and wanted to watch the OVAs because it was based off of the manga, and that's what they came with. That like they came with the collector's edition volume or whatever. So it's kind of, it was like a really weird release where they had an actual anime and then they had a bunch of OVAs that were kind of screwy, but
I've seen that chart
where and then they had an end movie, like they had an ending movie that was different than the end of the manga, so there's three separate endings. It's messed up. Just
I've seen
if you want to it's a really good manga like once like the past, like, the first 13 chapters, it gets really good, because there's a lot of pointless fan service at the beginning.
I've seen this flowchart where it was linear storytelling, circular storytelling, and so they had, like Naruto, where, you know, it was mostly a line, and they had, like, these little side plots, and then it mostly just went and did a couple curves. Then it was, like, Bleach just recycling itself over and over again. And then eventually they get down to Nejima, and they had it going, like, to up to Naruto, through Bleach, through everything else. And so I know what to expect. There's some
stuff going on.
Yeah, so I've heard that, and that's one of the reasons I want to pick it up. So I will, if not this week, soon.
Yeah, but don't bother watching it. Just read it.
I'll watch it.
It's... The anime kind of... let's see, what's something similar? It kind of ends where the equivalent of... God, I'm having such a hard time thinking up of a comparison. Okay, DBZ.
Okay.
It ends where they fight, what's his face? The first Saiyan.
Raditz?
Yeah, it kind of ends where they fight Raditz.
Well, that's the best part of the show.
And yeah. And then they're like, oh man, stuff's gonna happen, and then there's just a bunch of filler for the rest. And then it ends with kind of like a, oh, this solves the mystery, but not really.
Speaking of Super, what did you think, or think, speaking of Dragon Ball Z, what do you think of Super?
So it was kind of weird how everyone's like, oh, well, let's not use the...
Potara?
Yeah, Potara. But I can see the logic behind some of it. I think the weaker guys could have definitely used it. And, like, you know, a couple of them tried, and then they're just instantly gone. But
yeah, I didn't know that you could destroy those things. I guess you can pretty easy.
Well, I mean, they're...
They're god earrings. They are
made of gods, yeah.
Right, so it's
not made, like, of gods, made by gods.
And in such a way that this material somehow brings souls together and strengthens them. It's just like, but no, I guess they're pretty easy to break.
To be fair, it was Kefla or whatever. So maybe if you're just strong enough, I mean,
I didn't.
They're dealing with people that can destroy planets.
Well,
so
every one of them could, yeah.
Every one of them.
Every one of them. Because I mean, seriously, that was Vegeta
could,
before
could
they fought.
Speedman.
Speedman probably could.
Could Speedman kill a planet?
Yeah, because he damaged. What was it? 18? No, hold on a second. Didn't he damage somebody? Yeah, he had 18. And 18 was like, wow,
he,
so fast.
He was like, no, she was just like, ow, my ankle.
Well, that was before, and then he's like, actually got a hit on her, and he's like, oh, wow, he's fast. And then he came again, and 17 was just like.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, all these guys are to the point, like, if any one of them can do. Well, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, they retconned a couple things so that Goku can get damaged by a bullet. Because when he was a kid, he got hit in the head with a bullet. That's how he met Bulma.
Yeah.
And he was fine. Versus recently, he got grazed by a bullet. And that actually gave him, like.
From who?
It was after he had done the Kaioken Super Saiyan Blue, and he was sort of like.
During the tournament?
No, not during the tournament. This was earlier in Super, when he was figuring he needed to do some training. But anyway, they sort of retconned a couple
weird
things. So I would have thought that
whatever level he's at, it was definitely not weaker than child
Goku. Yeah,
I'm gonna go fishing, Goku.
Right. It's just a matter of the where the universe is. Bullet technology, I guess, is better. I don't know. But
like, if it was an alien gun, maybe.
Yeah. So I was thinking that all of them can break bedrock with the punch, you know, and they're all punching each other as hard as they can, and so and some
but,
of the,
but
some of them
it
are
was
just like,
it was special god rocks that they weren't supposed to be able to break, and then they were like, oh well, we could break it, and then they did, and then they were like, okay, well, we'll super reinforce it. Now you definitely won't be able to break it. And
then there's Jiren, no, literally with his eyes closed, just crushing the rocks for fun. Death once had a near Jiren experience.
Well, he's gonna wake up soon.
Yeah. I kind of hope that they go some sort of route that he's doing basically what I did with Barty, and just like bluffing his way through being like just like maybe there's a people have a theory about his eyes.
Yeah.
And maybe he has to, like, I don't know,
he has
like
to,
wizards.
He has to put his juice on his contacts.
Yeah, whatever it is. Who knows? I don't know. But he has to, like, ready stuff, and he just sort of blew his entire load just to keep up with them. I hope that they do something with him. Because that's why the Potara made sense in this episode, because the weaker universes, their only hope is that their people can hide and run and survive the minor fights so that they have a numbers advantage. Like, there's only a few people that can take out Goku even now. Kefla's looking like there's going to be a nice fight between Ultra Instinct and Kefla. And Kefla, by the way, is not Super Saiyan. So if it's close when he's Ultra Instinct.
Well, she's got the green hair, doesn't she?
I thought it was just normal. I think it's just normal Kefla.
She's got the green hair. I'm not sure if that means it's Super Saiyan or not.
Like the legendary Super Saiyan? We'll have to see. And she might go Super Saiyan 3. Who knows? It seems to be pretty easy for her.
Yeah.
And Gotenks did it. So maybe, you know, it just gets they achieve a certain level. Who knows? Well, we're going to have to see. But anyway, that was the math was why some of them didn't do it. And it you're right. It does kind of make sense. But with Jiren being
Vegeta
there.
Vegeta and Goku definitely could have used a fusion.
Yeah, they've already done it. They have a personality looking out. And for them, they know it's only going to last 15 minutes.
Well, that's almost the entire rest of the tournament.
Exactly. So it would be to their benefit, to no detriment. Some of them, because the gods remarked, they're like, you don't know you're going to get your fighters back because the Potara was supposed to last forever. it maybe has something to do with compatibility, or maybe it has something to do with the amount of power that Vegito goes through. But they know they're going to split, because they've done it every time.
Yeah.
Versus the other fighters, they don't know they're ever going to split. Like, I don't think that Caulifla and Kale know that they're ever going to split.
Well, they don't know what's going on at all. They're just, like, who's their god of destruction?
I don't remember his name.
Okay, well, not Beerus said, just, like, here.
Fat Beerus.
Fat Beerus said, here, use these and you'll win, basically. And they're like, okay. They were like, I don't like earrings. And then he's like, no, just shut up and do it.
Yeah,
just
put them on.
And then that's basically the extent of their knowledge.
Yeah. Though they were smart to destroy the Potara. I wonder what that does to the universe.
Probably nothing.
Nothing? Just they lose an accessory?
I don't know.
It's
probably like their symbol of, you know, status. Oh! But
Elephant in the room!
What?
We didn't say anything about that. Oh, no, the guy was last week, right?
Which guy?
The guy who sings. He wound up being the guy who sung the intro. He said, in this fight.
Oh. Yeah, that weirdo.
Yeah.
No, I think that was this week.
Oh, was it? Yeah, so that's the guy that sings the intro.
Yeah. I was like, who are you? Why are you here? No, go
away. The entire anime world had that reaction. Like, what is this?
Yeah, I saw that in a news article, and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense now.
I hope they do that more often. I'm the only person in the world. Yeah, like, just like, I am this person, Japanese pop star idol.
But I don't think he even said that, because if he said that, I would have been like, oh, okay, they're doing one of those things.
It's so mind-blowing,
it's like
it just went beyond everybody.
One time, I was reading some manga, and like the art style just changed for a page.
Yeah!
And I'm like,
I've seen that.
Who are these characters, and why is everything different, and why is the art bad?
That was my
favorite.
And
then at the end of the volume, it's like, you know, note for page whatever, some random celebrity drew this, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Thanks.
Great. That's nice.
In this episode of Super, we're gonna have a couple of Saiyans fighting each other, and you have to wonder why we can't just get along. You know, just, like, have a bunch of people randomly give their 2 cents in it. Like, some people will be super hype, like, yeah! Super Saiyan Blue! Super Saiyan Blue! And then other people, you know, will just be like, I mean, I was called in here because you'll know me. But that was weird.
It was weird.
I wish I knew more about Ultra Instinct, but... maybe that'll come with time.
Well, yeah.
Because, that's, okay.
It seems like a backed into the corner, auto trigger kind of thing.
That's what I thought, but, you know, like, the first time, he literally had to manifest his own body back into existence. You know? Like, this time he just had to stand up when he was real tired.
Well, he's learning.
He's learning, but...
He's a Super Saiyan. Super Saiyans get stronger when they're almost dead. Super and when they're Saiyans. Literally dead, that's pretty good.
That's pretty darn close to obliviated.
Though Goku has actually died a lot of times.
Yeah, and
compared to most people, it's up there.
So, like all the other transformations, like, and this Ultra Instinct has really made me appreciate the Super Saiyan, because, like, Super Saiyan 1, his friend was, you know, just turned into bloody dust by Frieza, and... he just like, ting, you saw it go through his head, and he just, you know, and he had to become something different, and he did, and it makes sense. And when you watch people go when you watch the Saiyans go Super Saiyan, you can like feel
hey,
that
Saiyans are people too.
Yeah, Saiyans are people too.
Hashtag all Saiyans are people.
Good luck with that one. you know, you can feel like this sort of gut-wrenching, it's kind of like anger, it's kind of, not really like fear, but like that fighting spirit just becoming unhinged. And then Super Saiyan 2, Gohan used his sorrow, his everything, and just blah, you know, came out. Super Saiyan 3 is just like, we've already know what Ascended is, and it's the Kamina. Go beyond what's the impossible, you know? Like, push logic to the curb. This is what it is to go even further beyond. And Gokutenks, the same thing. Like, he just, like, you think Gokutenks is awesome? Super Saiyan 3, because blah, blah, blah. And it's him going even further beyond. And so each one has a really distinctive feel, and then Super Saiyan God was weird. But, sure. Like, there was a religious sort of something.
Yeah, it was kind of like a more personal spirit bomb.
Yeah, kind of like all focused there. And so I still don't know how Vegeta did it, but
shut up. That's why.
Yeah, shut up. And then you know the blue is all of this harnessed into a calmer spirit or something. But everyone has a particular feel. Ultra Instinct. I want to say that it's like that. Like Zoro does it in One Piece, where all of a sudden you're facing death, you're at death's door, literally 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and suddenly you reach that sort of calm moment, but there is a fierce, like biological to survive. And so both things happen, like you're calm, but at the same time you need to fight with every inch of what you have to remain alive. You know, sort of like in that. But
it's
the
like
first
that,
time I felt it.
That kind of zen feeling.
Yeah. With the... If you don't live with 100% of your ability to live, you die.
Right.
And but this time it was just like he stood up when he was real tired. Just like, okay, so there's something maybe a little bit more or less to it. Yeah, it might just be the final stage of... Or what right now is the final stage of martial prowess or something. But anyways.
I don't think so because, well, the first time did he show any actual fighting? Because it was mostly just him dodging stuff.
Yeah, he did a lot of really cool.
He did like a grapple thing.
Yeah, his whole movement change. I love the artwork of... That's one of the reasons I'm excited to see Ultra Instinct come back, even if I don't understand it. It's just like, I want to see how they're going to make him move and how they're going to make him react to stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really exciting. And he pretty much blew away all of the things at once. I didn't even know you could do that, but sure, he did it. So it's nice to see that come back. I wish I had a bit more of an underlying understanding of it. But at the same time, I don't think anyone else... I don't think even the gods at that point know what's going exactly what it is.
They all kind of seemed like it was a rumor or something, or like, you know, well, kind of like a Super Saiyan, like, you know, Vegeta was I'm a Super Saiyan.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't. He was just kind of strong.
Pretty strong. Yeah.
Not as strong as a Super Saiyan.
Not as strong as he is now. Like, shoot.
Yeah.
His base level is stronger than, like, Super Saiyan Goten. And actually, Gotenks. Doesn't he take on Gotenks? He definitely takes on Goten and Trunks. But, yeah. So, I mean, that was fun. The fight, cauliflower and Kale's combination is really strong. And
yeah. And getting stronger.
They're going to have to either get her to the next level or Goku to the next level to beat Jiren, though. So I don't know how they're going to do that with the amount of time they have. So
well, Ultra Instinct, I think, can definitely take out
Ultra
one of them.
Ultra Instinct? Kaioken!
Oh my god.
God. He just blows up. I told you, Goku! Stop it!
Kaioken times 5 million.
That's like 30 20s.
And that's a lot.
And that's a lot. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. And then I think that just leaves Ancient Magus Bride.
Yeah.
Unless
you watched, but did you watch anything else?
Nope, not this week.
So given up on whatever it's called?
Osama game. I might pick it up later on, but it's just, it's something that, I want to be brain dead and watch just a few episodes too.
Each
episode really doesn't do a whole heck of a lot for the plot. So I might as well just binge it, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm going to watch it. But yeah. Oh my gosh. I love the Fairy King. If I had another D&D campaign
he'd be who I'd play. In that scene.
Mm-hmm. Because he, he's a big goofball, but they did goofball right. So, like,
he wasn't does goofball pointless. Wrong.
Yeah, he had a purpose. He brought them closer. He
accomplished something.
Yeah, he brought the Thorn Mage and the other guy, his bride to be closer.
Don't assume her gender.
Yeah. But all right, another elephant in the room, just gonna put it out there. Boobs. I watched that with Nick. That was kind of awkward. A little bit. I don't know if you felt awkward, but I did. It was just like, and there's your boobs. Or are they jello?
Awkward. It was just like, or pudding. Why?
Yeah. It was just like, and there's her
pudding.
Her jiggling breasticles on top of this little pony. And there they still are. And okay, now we're looking at her waist, but nothing else is really moving besides her breasts. Sure. And then we're going to zoom up. Okay, there's her face, but her breasts are... it was just like... And it seemed like they were trying to, like, maybe show off their aptitude at drawing the physics, but it was
maybe
weird.
They shouldn't have, because
it was not
great.
And it goes to show you that even something with as great artwork as Magus Bride just can't quite nail the boob physics.
Yeah. They're supposed to be like bags of sand. Everyone knows that.
Isn't that from the 40-Year-Old Virgin? Huh. Well, we learned something new about Nicholas. With all his time in the Admiral Theater, he hasn't picked up the... So, yeah. But anyway, that all aside, the queen, she seemed pretty cool. Like, she had her own shenanigans, though. Like, it took me a little bit of thinking about this to pick this up, but... she seemed very down to earth. Like she was with that little, that little Gimli thing. and it was just like, he's like, this is the queen. Bow down before her. Queen, you shouldn't talk to these flesh bags. They have shells. Ew.
said the rock man.
Yeah. Said the rock guy. Said the rock, Dwayne Johnson. There we go. And she's just like, You gotta settle down. And then she was talking about her husband, like, oh man, what a pain in the butt that guy is. And then there he is. But then what did she say? Did she invite them over to the other world? Yeah. She invites them over, you know, and it, up until that point
kinda
she's
like
been very
vaguely, I think.
No, she was very
like come over sometime.
Kind of like, you should come to a banquet. And up to that point, she'd seemed very genuine. And from like a character standpoint, at least for me, I seemed rather, well, and especially in comparison to her husband, I felt very like I could trust her almost.
Uh-huh.
And the Thorn Mage, he's just like, only if you let us come back. And then she, like, her facade broke and she kind of gave you that sort of fairy-like smile, like, maybe... And I'm like, that was good. That was really good. That is proper fairy queen.
Yeah.
And then her husband was completely reversed. Like, he was just this goofball who seemed like he had no goal or no anything. And then he had, like, the secret agenda that he was able to work in and make it somebody else's idea. You know? Like, when are you guys going to have kids? Kids? Yeah. Yeah, it was just the vision. It was another. It was basically an art porn episode.
Yeah, in a way.
You got some. You did
a little bit of character development.
A little bit, yeah. I think world development might be a better way to think about this because. You didn't. For the Fairy Queen and King, you got some character development on their end, and you saw sort of a cute moment between Elias and Chse. But hold on a second. I forgot what I was going to say. But so anyways, the world development was strong. You saw both sides of the fairies and what governs them. And so going forward, obviously the fairies are going to have a large part in Chisei's future, being where the primary source from which she derives her magic. But like the scene where she woke up and there was all the sparkles and then the flowers grew around her. I mean, it was very, very pretty.
Yeah.
And it went, the next scene was just, like a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood moment where they went chibi, where it was the king holding her hand and the artwork was goofy. they are really like, and I think this is the proper way to do it. They are playing with their medium. You could almost see the artist just like being given a little bit of a leash and seeing like, does this work? Yes, it does. They've done it with Elias before. And yeah, I'm just, I really like the show. Again, more than I think I should.
Because like, are we allowed to like it this much?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we allowed?
Like, can I like it?
I rated it a 10. Is that too much?
I don't know. I hope that it lives up because right now I'm just enjoying it. And like, I can look at this episode and I know it's just like an anime art porn. Like, it's just like, wow, that's really pretty. I really like this. And they've she's been sleeping for 2 weeks. They said that's a long time.
Yeah.
And they're for one setting up boundaries and two breaking down boundaries. They're setting up boundaries for the world, and they're also like in our world, without an IV, you'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And my only way of breaking, like, figuring out what they're doing so well is that they are just slowly inviting us into this world. And so what they do with us now that they have us sprawled without our defenses, we'll have to see next week.
And at the very end, that guy was, he made an appearance.
Which one?
The kind of scraggly looking dude who was in the OVA.
Which one?
The
bookkeeper?
No. At the very first episode of the OVA.
Oh, I still haven't watched the first episode of the OVA.
Oh.
I came in too.
He was in the others too, I'm sure, but, he was just kind of hanging around.
The church guy?
No. He had black hair, and I think he could turn into a dog or something.
Hmm. Was this after the credits?
No. It was just like two seconds right before.
I don't remember him doing anything. What did he say? He
just kind of like showed up and he's like muttered something vague. Like, you know, it's time or something like that.
Ooh. Ominous.
Or it's like, it's good to be back. Or I don't know. So, you know, those vague anime kind of things.
He did that.
He made a vague appearance and said a line.
Line of hype. I'll go
a
back.
A line of hype. Watch. Yeah, that's it. A line of hype.
Yeah, I watched it on my phone, so I exited prematurely or something. But yeah, I think that's all the new shows that are airing at the moment. Super is the thing I'm most nervous about because I still have been enjoying it a lot, but it's got some ground to cover to reach my expectations. Magus Bride, that's one that I have high expectations for, but I'm not nervous about. Like, I'm just excited to see what they're going to do with it because...
Uh-huh.
I have high expectations of quality. I have like no expectations about where they're going to go. I'm developing theories,
anywhere.
But right, I've never seen anything like this before. So,
you mentioned Full Metal Alchemist. Like, I don't know what it is about that, but it's got some weird, strange quality that also reminds me of that. I don't know why.
I think maybe it's in part because they. Full Metal Alchemist had a world that was really similar to our own, and they changed only a couple things, to allow, like, for example, they didn't have giant mechs.
Right.
In Fullmetal Alchemist. They also didn't have...
It could be our world, but we don't know it.
Right. And especially in Brotherhood, the time that they did really big magic was so... the creature literally had to manipulate people over the course of, like, 7 centuries to make a transmutation circle inside of a transmutation circle to make a bigger transmutation circle to slaughter... potentially millions of people in order to gain the power for him to grab the power in order to have the power. Like, it was just like, okay, at that point you get it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was, and he had to like your books over there, he had to make like a reverse pyramid and balance it perfectly.
It works. Don't put liquids on it.
Yeah, exactly. if anybody had sneezed in the wrong time, it just, his plan would have collapsed, and it didn't. And because he was so careful about it. Within reason, there were large differentials in experience and aptitude, and there were reasons for, like Mustang got his power because his teacher mastered the art of flame, and he saw it despite his teacher trying to get him to not. And after Mustang got it, it was on the back of Risa. He burned Risa. So that nobody else would get it, because, I mean, it, like, he did horrendous things with it.
Yeah.
And he, like, he grasped the essence of fire, and it burned him. And it's so complex, and it's, rather, I shouldn't say complex, it's so intricate that it works. It's not, it's beyond our experience, but not by much, and they gradually welcomed you into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this in terms of pacing and in terms of like how the magic works.
Something about the pacing, yeah.
And so the magic also isn't like, you know, it's not like Elias has.
I could see the pace increasing.
It will, because Elias has not yet strained himself. He's always been composed, and. Yeah, I mean, even they've been in a couple seemingly bad situations, but we haven't seen him freak out yet. Like, Chise, that scared me. It's just been like, you know, really, you could have done it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there are a couple, I think, parallels to it. But again, I hope they continue to make... Chise the embodiment of like a tragic girl who becomes a sacred feminine goddess, or you know, like a tragic girl that becomes a basically what a dragon slayer is to the masculine archetype. I hope. And you can, I can see a lot of ways that they can do it, but they're doing great. I have a lot of confidence in the people that are doing this, just because of how many things they've done right.
Good job, Magus Bride people.
And if you haven't picked it up, really seriously, pick it up. It's one of those things where. Some shows are better if you binge them. It just, like, they're better, hands down.
I don't think this is one.
No. This is one where you almost benefit more from a week of just digesting the artwork and digesting the storytelling.
Yeah.
And, like, man, I wonder what that character was up to. And like I said...
I never say that.
Yeah. It's
like, binge is my standard.
He didn't pick up My Hero Academia because he refused to he's like, no, I want to watch it all at once. And then you picked it up and you're just like, I want more. And My Hero would be a good one to binge, but
it was super.
Super, super too. But this one, after the episode, I had that chance to sort of stop and reflect on the Fairy King and Queen. And that's when I like, oh, they are perfect opposites of each other. Like, really well done, guys. And, I really, like I said, I was able to figure out the queen, how she works hard to seem genuine to gain your trust so she can trick you. That's very, very Faye. That's a really well done character trait. And so oftentimes she's not necessarily lying to you. She's gaining your confidence and she's being genuine. But one time out of 10, she's going to try to really get work it to her advantage hard, whether or not that's she plays with those shades of gray. And then the other guy, he seems like he's just a child. Like he says, the wife says, you shouldn't pick on children. And you're just like, you're saying that to this guy? And then all of a sudden you get a glimpse of what's behind that facade. And it's just like, oh, there's like this deep thing there. Okay. There's a Leviathan behind the shallows. And, I only got that because I didn't go on the next episode right away. And every episode has had something. Like a few episodes ago on here, we were talking about how there was a dragon who was dying. And when he died, the feels were real. And it's just like the tea guy, or the tea man. I'm the tea guy. The tea man was just like, why do I care? And why am I crying? but it got you. And it takes some time to like reflect on that. Yeah. Like, what did they do?
The only time when I was like, I need the next episode now was when it had a cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's true.
Two episodes ago.
So,
and even then, it wasn't like I need it now. It was like, oh, I wish I had the next one.
Did we ever talk on here about the pacing, binging like Netflix should? Format shows for binge versus
we
not.
We talked about Netflix and you know streaming sites structuring their stories in favor of binging because now that's you know a kind of standard versus shows where you're not expected to. You're expected to watch it
week by week. Yeah,
but not which do you prefer?
I see. This series, I think it so far has done a really good job making it so week by week, you're left in a good place. So, anyways, if you're looking, well, first of all, if you're watching the second Infusion and you haven't watched this, sorry. But if you're waiting to binge it, just pick it up. It's and if you pick it up, try to watch it every couple days or something. Give yourself a day or two between episodes. And even when there was a cliffhanger, it just left you wanting more, and that's fine sometimes. Like sometimes that's what you need to keep your passion alive. So yeah, I think that's all I've got for the second Infusion.
Yeah.
This week, again, was the Mad Hatter's concoction. We've already drank a lot of the holiday teas, but that's going to be on the front of the website soon. So thedragonstreasure.com, check it out. Tea is great for yourself to keep up your immunity system and all kinds of stuff as the weather is getting cold. If you're in a cold weather place like Chicagoland, where we are, or even if you're not, we have a lot of good iced teas. So check it out, thedragontreasure.com.
Have we done all the holiday teas?
Yeah, we've done, most of them. We've done peppermint and gingerbread. Let me think. What are they? We got candy spice. Cane, pumpkin spice. Candy cane out of the holiday teas is my favorite.
I think gingerbread's mine.
So we'll put those up on the site. They're only around for a limited time. Winter wrap up will be coming out after. So it's bittersweet, huh? Because we'll take away the holiday teas and then we'll put up winter wrap up as the weather is going to turn.
I could have done that this week too. I forgot about I had that. The tea man was not around to supply us with tea, so we had to dip into my personal stash.
Thank you, Nick. By the way. So, all right, we'll see you next week when in the second Infusion I'll bring up what The Walking Dead is, was, and might be doing, as well as other things.
Could and should be.
Could and should is another good thing. So, in the meantime, write us at the place aforementioned, TCast at thedragonstreasure.com. Ooh, that was creepy. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Gandalf, for I much desire to speak with you. Tell me, where is Gandalf, for I much desire to speak.